Aloha, this is Wayne Cadero with the Word for the Week. We're going to be starting Joshua 1 through 20, and then we're going to go into 1 Corinthians. This is a great week as we approach Easter in this year. Now, as we go into Joshua, some people will be deeply troubled by the role that warfare takes on in this book. And some people even go so far as to say this must be a pre-Christian, pre-godly, pre- or sub-Christian stage of moral development. So this main thread of the narrative of this book, with including so much war and conquest, becomes offensive to some. But I want you to remember as you read Joshua, this book does not address the moral ethics of war in an age that war was so important to that culture. We don't understand it looking back, but to them it was normal. For example, while we look at other cultures through the lens of our own, and then we see them as bad, well, we can actually be to them very hypocritical. Because although we say, The conquest of lands and expanding of one's territory is terrible using warfare and military strategy, they would look at us, wouldn't they, and say, hey, how much did you spend on sports last year as Americans? Because we say for $10 billion, we can cure hunger in the world. For $5 billion, we can stop all the waterborne diseases in Africa. But then we look at how we spend. And though we make great statements of how much it'll take to cure hunger or waterborne diseases or get penicillin around the world, just a few billion here and there, at the same time, though we don't do that, we just spent this last year $450 billion on sports. On sports. And beer to watch those sports? According to the National Retail Federation, we spent $96 billion on beer, and on our pets, $50.6 billion. New York Times reported that we spent last year, just last year, think about this, $5 billion on downloading ringtones. And we take a look at Joshua's day and say how terrible to expand your territory through military conquest. Horrible. You see, it's so easy to see others through our lens and think we're holy and they not. Let me continue by helping us to understand this. And it's easy to see error in other cultures, but remember this, God always spoke in the language of that culture. That was a time when national and political powers were viewed as their deity's blessings. Now remember, God's going to speak in the language of that culture. So if there was a national strength or a political power, it was viewed as that deity's blessing of that culture. And that country's ability to expand their borders came only through warfare. That's it. They didn't have the UN, or they didn't have other means of worldwide court systems that had the same values. No. Their victories were their only proof that they could expand with power, and that was because of their deity's blessing. See, that was the language of that day. So God had to speak in a language where the people, or the Canaanites, understood that the Lord God of Israel was the Lord of Lords. And then, of course, that wasn't the only way, but that was a way that they would understand. And then they would submit their hearts. Would God speak differently today? Absolutely. But you have to remember, he's the same Lord, but he's speaking to different people, different culture, and different understanding. You wouldn't teach a first grader with the same language as a neurophysics program in college. No, you would teach students differently, with different language, different illustrations, different disciplines. So we see that we have here the book of Joshua. You'll find courage, obedience, and in the midst of war, mercy. Now in the New Testament, you're going to be in 1 Corinthians. Now 1 Corinthians, Paul writes this to a city of about, here it is, listen to this, 250,000 people and 400,000 slaves. Quite an imbalance, huh? It was a crossroad for travelers and traders alike. Now, the culture of Corinthians, or the Corinth city, rather, was sort of a university town, sort of like Athens, but they had an infamous temple, the Temple of Aphrodite. Yep, they practice, and here's the oxymoron, religious prostitution. Did you know that there were 1,000 prostitutes? So no wonder the Corinthian church was plagued with immorality. So the theme revolves around problems in Christian conduct, immaturity, divisions, jealousy, marital difficulties, sexual immorality, and the misuse of spiritual gifts. Sounds like America today, doesn't it? Well, Paul is personally concerned with these and in this book begins to reveal his pastoral heart. Hey, have a great time in devotions this week. It's a wonderful time of learning. I'll be learning with you. God bless you.